You're happy in the morning, but now you're feeling blue. Come on and set your arse down and have yourself a brew. You walked here from Killarney, and now you know it's true. You'll suck the cock of an Irishman before the night is through.
And here we are, episode 158 of the Cocktail Hour, March 30th, 2024. Gentlemen, good to see you. What the hell's going on? How are you?
Good morning. It's just the three of us today.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. We got rid of that dead weight of women and we get back to some serious podcasting here. Right?
I believe we picked up three women at the 99 cent store and said, you want to be in a podcast? And they came and did it. Okay.
That's how it goes.
Did we pick them up or did they pick us up? That's the question I want to know. That's
three guys with a video camera in a garage. What could go wrong?
Yeah. In the '70s, we'd be a hit.
It is the Valley.
Yes.
Ay-yay. That was a good movie, Boogie Nights. I thought that was really funny and good.
We've talked about this. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kelly.
We talked about Boogie Nights?
No, we've talked about this, you know, porn stars and all that stuff. And I was thinking, you know, I never would have dreamt when I was a wee lad back in the Midwest that I would ever meet, or I don't know any porn stars. I've met a couple. Yeah, I know you do. But, you know, it's
you're
not
looking
like
at one, you guys.
No.
I just porn. Don't put it on my not, demo reel.
No, not porn. Not pawn. Porn. On star. Yeah, that's what you are. Anyway, I don't know. I just, it's funny when you grow up and recently I have had a guest here that's known me for a long, long time and they were going through the yearbook, right? And man, I'm telling you, that's a catapult back into history. What's going on here? Why am I?
Went out of focus. There you go. You're back.
There you go.
Your camera's too clean. That's the problem.
Here, spin on it. Anyway, boy, that was a catapult back to some memories and some things that I just didn't, you know, think about and like, wow, look how far I've come, and then also look how far I haven't come. How many things I've, it's an eye opener, man. When you go back and look at those years that supposedly have as much influence you on any time in your life, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean, like you wish you'd left town earlier or you wish you'd stayed longer and really learned the ins and outs at the local hardware store?
Well, well, what makes you think I didn't do that when I was there? But no, I don't know.
A little of that.
You know, I don't know, John. It just makes me think like, yeah, well, I'm glad I got, you know, the hell out of there. But at the same time, my life is definitely better, but in what ways isn't it better? Right.
Well,
unlike a lot of my folks,
you pay more for real estate here. Okay. Go on.
Yeah. Like a lot of folks there, they've had a lot more marriages than I have had. I've only had one and I'm, you know,
you're still on the first. That's how you work.
You're such a loser. Jesus.
Yeah. So, you know, did I let a group of people down? Was I not really a community member if I, you know, haven't, you know, been on my third wife?
Of course you have. Who hasn't let a group of people down? Come on.
Well, that's right. You know, yeah. I'm not talking about you two. I don't care about letting you two down.
Oh, you haven't let me down. You're doing exactly what I thought you were going to be doing.
Yes. Do you think we would have all been friends at the age of 16 or 13? Do you ever think about that?
That's a tough one. See, I'm just realizing, you know, and maybe we talked about it, we're all kind of from small towns, right? I mean,
and
then here we are in the big city making our way.
Well, Saskatoon, it's like, you know, 150,000. So how small are you talking?
That's smaller than New York City.
Los Angeles or Atlanta or.
Yeah. Gotcha. Danny, how many people were in your hometown?
I believe there was almost 6,000.
Okay.
So that's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a little town. Mine's about 30 something thousand. unless the race came to town, and then that currently adds another 160,000 people.
There you are, John, playing the race card again. There you go, going DEI again on us, John. Bringing up the race, John. You can't even have
when the race problem happens in my hometown, dealing with your woke ass again, and nobody can go to the McDonald's because the line's too long.
You know, I gotta say,
those damn knowing foreigners guys from North Carolina come in to watch. Oh, Junior not that Johnson.
Knowing you guys as well as I do now, I don't see a reason why I wouldn't hung around with you in high school.
Neither of you
are super jocks or anything.
But I mean, it's what were our personalities back in high school? Like, you know, man, I was, when you think I'm a jackass now.
that's what I, you know.
I've really matured. Since
really,
yeah,
oh wow,
yeah, since
I'm glad I wasn't there and when I even
oh yeah up. Yeah no yeah. Shit, I mean, that's the thing, like that's why I'm a proponent of bullying today. I think there are times when somebody needs a, you know, an attitude adjustment that only a peer can give you,
and that good ass whooping.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's you learn things quick like that. Oh shit, I shouldn't say stuff like that ever again.
Yeah.
I should not wear high heels to school.
You know, my
okay.
You know, I remember
I learned the hard way, but boys, I'm done.
No, I remember when I was in
learning it.
Yeah, I might have been in the 7th grade or 8th grade. So our junior high was 7th and 8th grade. And I remember I had a pair of dingo boots that I thought were the shit. I mean, they were suede. They were cool. And
the box those things came in was cool. Yeah, I remember there was a cool looking dingo box. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think O.J. Simpson wore dingoes. I mean, you couldn't get cooler than that. And so I had these boots and I wore them, and I was really self-conscious about the sound that they made on the floor, you know.
Down the hall.
Yeah, just really? Walking down the hall by yourself, and you could just... And now I wear cowboy boots proudly. But then I was like, ooh, I don't want to draw that kind of attention to myself.
Well, where I was from, a lot of people had cowboy boots. I didn't have a pair of cowboy boots because I, you know, didn't find them comfortable at the time. And
I don't think a lot of people had, most people just wore tennis shoes, you know.
No, yeah. I had a lot of cowboy boot wearers where I was from, mm-hmm. you know, because they all wanted to be cowboys. And a lot of them were farmers, of course, and they had work boots, but they... You know, they're going to church shoe was a good old cowboy boot, right? Even at a young age.
Now we weren't like that. We didn't have a mile of flat land, so there wasn't a lot of farm stuff happening, you know.
Well, I got
flat you grow land some tobacco, you might have work boots, but you didn't need cowboy, you know, who the hell had a horse? But
where I'm from, you at that time, you show up in cowboy boots to school, you may get shot.
Really?
But you grew up in farm country.
You know, but the thing is, you don't dress unlike everybody else there at that time. No, really? No room for self-expression. You're a homo, man. If you
wore your Canadian tuxedo,
Levi denim jacket,
mm-hmm.
and Levi's, you're allowed to wear cords, but mm-hmm. it has to be jeans usually.
Yeah.
And a hoodie.
What were your shoes?
Underneath.
A hoodie. Huh.
It was usually like just Adidas shoes, you know, that kind
of thing. We had, you know, when I was in high school, the leather Converse tennis shoes were big.
Okay.
Like the basketball team wore them. Yeah.
The Chuck Taylors, right?
No, they were all leather.
High top?
Could be high top, could be low top.
Is that right?
They were leather. And if you were really cool, you got the ones that were white, and the star and the stripe were our high school colors. That was, you had to get those special from the local sporting goods store. Yeah.
Wow.
I wish I could go back to high school now. I'd wear what I want to wear. And I just have, you know, I have the confidence now, just like, you know, blow me, dickwad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's getting the chicks?
Well, this guy, me in the
disco shoes, right? Am I right?
The disco
shoes. You wore disco shoes, right? Did you wear disco clothes?
Okay, there's a chronology to this that I have to talk about. So 19s, okay, there, okay, it was Levi's jacket, blah, 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 all that shit, right? Mm-hmm. Then Saturday Night Fever comes out in 77, I think.
That is
my
correct.
Friends and I go and see this movie, and we're like, holy fuck, are we stupid? You can dress like that? You know, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you didn't have to have your ass hanging out of your jeans to be cool. You yeah. could, like, dress up a bit. So we lost our fucking minds. And, of course, the bullies were like, a disco fag, right? But the
I
joke
said I was
on
sorry.
Because the chicks, let me tell you, they were like, you guys, it was like my friend Terry and I, they'd be like, tell us about this new disco thing. Oh my, you guys know how to dance? He was like, yeah, we'll show you a move, few moves if you want to come over.
Yeah, they, look, like got the largest collar that they had down at the
JCPenney.
Oh,
God, yeah. They thought we were the shit. So when the guy, the bullies would say, hey, disco fag, I'd say, would you do me a favor, please, and tell all the other schools in the city that I'm a disco fag because it's great. You know,
it's working out for you.
Oh, the chicks just thought we were fantastic. It was like all of a sudden we're showing up wearing not you don't wear a white suit to school. You wear a lavender one. but we were, you know, you know what I mean about the like all of a sudden we're wearing leather jackets with our collars out and we were into it. And it was a gas, a real good time.
Did you talk different? Did you do a little
Tony?
Tony, hey, you know, I spent a lot of time on my hair. You know,
Tony Monero.
Could you do a New York accent with a Canadian accent combined, and that will be the chick magnet of all times?
Holy shit!
Hey, Tony. Hey.
Oh, we're all gonna kill ourselves, choke on trying to do that.
I work half an hour on my hair, eh? I can't do it. I'm going to hurt myself if I fuck around
exactly.
like that.
I can see why the chicks were gravitating towards you with that.
Oh,
kind
no.
Of...
All of a sudden, like, these guys with their, you know, we just didn't look like, I don't have to explain.
Yeah, anymore. No, I mean, but no, it's you're right.
It was a novelty. We were a novelty all of a sudden. Like, those guys that wear those clothes, it's like, yeah, fucking right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not wearing the cords and the denim jacket, which they were great, but to feel like you had to wear that because you couldn't do anything, you know?
Yeah.
That
oh yeah.
We, I remember having like Levi's jackets for years and they were thick. I mean, you know, they could withstand gunfire and now go somewhere and you pick up a Levi's jacket, which costs $1 million at the Levi's outlet or whatever, you know, it's the thinnest essence of denim that they can produce.
Got a thread count of 6.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just, you know.
It ain't going to stop a bully punch, I tell you that.
Mm-hmm. No, but I do like the idea of you guys wearing, you know, because I think of Canada, right? It's 40 below, and there you are waiting for the bus with your denim jacket and your hoodie. Woo, it's chilly.
yeah, looking great, though.
Yeah, I'm wearing
feet's cold. My feet are cold.
My full down coat from Sears, you know, with the... Maybe it's not down. Maybe it's fiber fill or whatever. And it's got the hood that shrinks. You know, you pull the little strings till it's just.
So it looks like you're driving a tank. Or, look at what just came out of John's eyes. Yeah. Do it again, John. Watch. Make the heart. Yeah, look at
I always thought it looked like an anus, but that's just me.
I didn't know the filter could do that.
But I have hearts coming out of my anus occasionally. And I don't complain.
Woof.
As long as it's coming out. As long as it's coming out, you know, that's all we can.
Yeah. Better than going in.
Good times.
Another story.
For sure. Good times.
Yeah.
I don't know where those guys are now, you know?
Yeah.
The bullies?
I just think about that.
No,
I guess you're right.
My disco friends, but God, we just shook. And Friday, Saturday night, we would go to the disco and like just party our asses off till 2 a.m.
Mm, wow.
And we were having fun. I mean, it was just.
Yeah.
That's great.
Women and guys, and just it was just wonderful.
And the music was also changing. That was the other thing.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh, you know, it was sexy.
Super fast. I mean, once you hit 77, 78, it went from, Lynyrd Skynyrd to Pat Benatar.
KC.
You know?
Yeah.
Through. And there was, you know, there was that thing about how awesome those disco songs were. And then people were like, oh, disco sucks. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Tom Petty. What a little sucky babe. So he organized, him and some other guys organized. It's not pure rock, man. Come on, man. disco, man. And so they had a big burnout. They were burning disco records in some stadium. What a bunch of pussies.
Yeah.
What
Bunch
of little pussies. They can't take it because somebody's enjoying music other than Rec, man.
Well, yeah. No, I think they, I saw some assholes. Documentary about that, and they were, that was kind of a record company thing that they were doing.
Oh, really?
Because they were, you know, the people that were performing and making disco music and the, you know, Studio 54 and
were black.
Well, I mean,
is that where you're going? Because there was a bit of racism attached.
Oh, no, it was racism and homophobia and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, just like people could do whatever they wanted. They didn't, you know, and I think the guys that ran record companies were like, we got to kill this.
The androgyny
is so stupid. Why would you do that? If you were a record company and you have a brain and there's this new thing that people are losing their minds over, why would you not start signing artists and,
I mean, I guess some did, and other ones tried to kill it.
Well, I think you also
wanted to be pure, man. That's why.
Well, and also you've got, you know, whether it's Tom Petty or whoever, Bob Dylan or whoever they were, right? Were, you know, purist, and also they're bringing in you a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of power, right? Yeah. So if they come to you and going, I can't believe, you know, so if your label goes out and signs Casey and the Sunshine Band, right? They may go, well,
they might believe,
I'm going to go to a different label. So it's all
they can't. They can't until that 5-year contract's up.
Yeah. But we all know that record companies were just taking advantage of those people even way back, you know, and what have you. So, you know, what's the other thing about this is, and I don't understand this, is like prior to disco, right? We weren't dancing. We were listening to music, and you'd go, and if there was a, you know, if you'd go at like 1974 or whatever, there wasn't a lot of dance music. You danced to stuff, right? Like slow dances, you know?
Like this, we used to go. Like,
yeah,
that was the move. That's about it.
Yeah,
listening
you,
to,
you know,
to
you,
whatever. I don't know who.
Yeah, but you would sway.
Boston.
You wouldn't dance. You would just sway. You know.
Yeah.
Because we weren't listening to, because the dance music was the '50s, like, you know.
Yeah.
Parents and whatever, you know, the jitterbug and all that stuff, and they were all doing and you know, variations of the swing dance or whatever, but. So then the '60s hit. Nobody wanted to dance. They just wanted to rock out, cool down, man. They do drugs. So think the great thing, and you said it, going back to, hey, Saturday Night Fever comes out. It's cool to dance, not even just dress up like that and listen.
Yeah.
But it was cool to do something. And I don't know if you're. I mean, are you? I mean, are you really dancing to Tom Petty? I don't. Not like you. Not like you are to, you know.
There's
Disco
also,
Inferno,
right?
You know,
there was also when disco was like, there was a real sense of abandon to it, like, let's jump on that dance floor as a group. You know, you just smoked up and you get out there, you just have the time of your life, and it was just
piss. And you didn't. I remember, you know, you didn't get judged, right? You were all
not in there, but at school you did,
Oh yeah, but in that dance, in, you know, you're to disco, everybody's, and you're, if you can, you know, nobody was, not everybody was Tony Manero, right?
No.
So, but everybody could try to dance it, whether in the line or whatever, right?
Now, having said all that, my girlfriend and I did win a disco contest. Mm. We won like $100 each, which in 1977 was, that was pretty good. I bought a denim jacket.
I was going to say, you went and bought...
What's some Levi's?
Just in case. Just in case. Like, a, you know, in case of emergency, break this and put this on, you know? But, that was kind of funny. Because, you know, I'm a little older than you fellas. So I was coming out of high school when Saturday Night Fever. So I was nothing but, you know, Southern rock, you know, folk rock, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I got out of high school, I didn't, you know, I wouldn't get to participate in that at that level. So the couple of years after high school I did, which was pretty amazing. And it was actually kind of short lived too. That was the other thing. Don't you guys think?
What do you mean?
Well, disco really kind of just kind of fizzled out in like 81.
It did,
You know,
so I'm reading this thing from the BBC. It's talking about the Netflix documentary, The Saint of Second Chances, which tells the story of Chicago White Sox owners whose notorious disco demolition stunt has been blamed for toppling an entire music genre. So in July of 1979 at Comiskey Park, they had a big thing.
I remember
and
this.
They blew up disco records, and
I remember this.
You know, and it really kind of galvanized this disco sucks thing. So there was a DJ in Chicago, and he he worked at a station that was, you know, a rival to one that had switched from rock to disco. And people liked disco and that kind of thing. But then there was this whole group of folks that swear they weren't racist or anti-gay, but they, you know, really, really hated disco. And so.
Yeah. And Tom Petty. Yeah. Let's remember his backdrop for his concerts was a big giant Confederate flag. So, yeah, there was no racist there.
Yeah.
Well, I, you know, the Confederate flag, everybody had that back in the 70s. Nobody knew any better. But, you know, this article talks about, you know, different musicians saying that, you know, the disco was kind of the black sheep of the family. Even George, what's his name of Parliament? George Clinton of Parliament Funkadelic. Mm-hmm. He was like, it's, you know, it's not funky enough. I don't really know why everybody shat upon it, but it was, I think it was short lived because the industry doesn't mean people didn't like dancing to it. They just didn't want black women ruling the charts.
Mm. What's also great too, you look at film footage of Studio 54 during that time.
Yeah.
It's people are just having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
You know? And that's something I've said about that. I suppose you go to a big rock concert and people have a wonderful time too. But it was the dancing. It was the
I think you're right. I think the race was also, but also that's when that sexual androgyny kind of, you know, lifestyle or choice or you know, coming out. Hey, listen, I've had to hide this all these years. You know, I'm a gay person and I can wear, you know, feathers and a diaper and be fine.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. You know, you know, those are a bitch to clean
feathers
up.
And a diaper.
Yeah.
I want that outfit. Yeah. Barbados.
I can't wear mine anymore. So I'd loan it to you. Maybe you can wear it and fit into it. But, you know, that kind of, because that's what Studio
54. So you're telling me that Donald Trump is really a disco freak. That's why he wears the diapers.
No, because Donald Trump always wore a suit to the disco. Mm. He always wore a suit. You know, if you look at it, he never had, not even a leisure suit. Like, you know, a lot of those people, you know, wore those big, like you said, those leisure suits with the big collars and everything. Donald Trump always had a regular suit on to 54, right? Why is that?
Why was that guy going to somewhere?
He had a lot of money.
No, but anybody.
I think it was the women.
What a stick in the mud. I mean, that guy's zero fun. Even at his, you know, when he was 30 years old, he wasn't any fun. Mm-mm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, but it was, I remember looking at all those pictures at Studio 54 and thinking it was another world. Cause you did have, it's so funny. You look at it now, you see Mick Jagger is at Studio 54. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a rock king. Okay.
Yeah,
here he is with all these people, but he's also with Donna Summer. You know, he's with Liza Minnelli and Mariznikov and all this, and you saw
dancing their asses off,
and nobody was being, you know, judgmental or a purist. Then they were all, and of course, I think there was a lot of drugs involved, which is obviously that was always a part of the music scene. But to watch those guys, to watch all those people, and I was like, always like to watch, look at the pictures and not look at the stars. Who's in the background? You know, which is what I was bringing up about the feathers and the diaper, because I remember seeing this and it was probably nobody, you know, nobody knew who this guy was or whatever, but that was who was allowed in there. And that was the other thing too, that was, you know, yes, there was probably some you know, prejudices going on and who gets into Studio 54, but
my wife actually experienced it. She got to go once only because she was with a movie star and it was this, she said she'd never been there. This long fucking line to get in, and the doorman just picked out her friend, just went, pointed at them, gave them this, and they were in. That was it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. This article says the guy that founded it, Ian Schrager, said, you know, Diana Ross would be there, Andy Warhol, Michael Jackson, all that kind of stuff. And he never saw Donald Trump dance. He said Donald Trump was a serious guy, didn't dance. So,
well, got to get rid of the stick if you want to dance.
Yeah, man.
But so anyway, going back, I was definitely thinking about that the other day when I was looking at those yearbooks about, would my friends still be the same? You know, if you know, Kelly, you move into town, am I going to, you know, be friends with you? Or if I move into your town, would we?
Right.
And that's a
Interesting thought. Huh?
Yeah. I know. I don't think it would change because obviously we've gotten to know each other, but I'm trying to think about the, you know, the 16-year-old Danny. What was he like, you know, in terms of, you know, how you made your friendships, you know?
Well, and then when somebody new comes to town, you know, when somebody new moves into high school, that's a whole thing, you know?
Right. Which I was, right. Which is, you know,
I think if I think about it, if from what I know of you guys, whether we actually talked back then, I don't know, but I think I would have befriended you guys just because you're funny. Funny goes a long way, and I think I would want to hang around with you guys because that's my group of guys were funny.
Yeah,
too.
I did not
funny
have the
and horny, but what?
I said I did not have the confidence back then that I do funny. Now. Yeah. But you know, let me ask you this. Okay,
any confidence in high school? Come on,
exactly. Well, I know a couple of people.
I had I had a little bit of confidence.
But now thinking back, and again looking at this yearbook thing, going back, what missed opportunities of bird-dogging chicks did I miss because I let somebody else's preconceived ideas or prejudices?
1,000% because you miss every shot you don't take.
Yep.
Right. I mean, we didn't realize what was going on in young ladies' heads. I'm so fat. I'm so ugly. Whatever. And we're like, man, you were amazing. But we're too chicken to ask them out. And they're like, no one's asking me out because I'm this pimple. It makes me look so gross. And my hair is not big enough today. It's less than 8 inches off the top of my head. I'm losing. And we would have said, you know, hey, I think you're cute. Would you like
Studio
54 with me?
I looked at somebody and I remember this. I was, again, this yearbook, I'm looking at it and I'm going, I thought she was cute from day one, but I didn't ever ask her out or spend any time with her because she was not part of that group that you didn't ask her, right? She wasn't a cheerleader, right? Or she was quieter or she didn't hang with those girls or whatever it is or those guys. And I think back, I'm going, I would have loved to have said, you know, let's, you know, do you want to go to a movie, right? Because I thought that when I met her or saw her at school, and I really didn't do that, you know, and I really regret that now because I let society or community or peers or whatever dictate my choice. And I was probably, and that happened on, you know, going back to the other thing of would we be friends? Would I be friends with somebody that wasn't, you know, part of that cool group? You know what I mean? And I like to think that I had a pretty broad fan, you know, or a friend group, you know, that was not just my core friends.
Yeah.
Right. You know, also because I was, you know, like I said, moved in and I didn't grow up knowing these kids.
Right.
But
right.
I just wished, you know, and if I see these people today, what would I say to them? Especially the girl that I thought was cute, right? You know, go to a reunion and hey, it's been 50 years since we graduated high school. I'm going to go, listen, don't have your husband, don't hit me when I say this, but I regret not, you know, taking you out or asking you out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you have gone? And, you know, and who knows?
That's going to fuck you up though if she says no.
We all hated you. You were such an ass.
You were that disco fag.
See, now, I wouldn't be friends with you guys because of that kind of shit right there, okay?
Oh, really?
See, I told you. You're just
hurt
bringing
your
up
feelings?
Yeah, yeah. John, yes, you're right. You know, I would not listen to you because you're the asshole in the group. And
I'm just genetically predisposed to say the thing that causes the most pain. And what I've learned in the past 500 years of being alive is maybe I should keep my mouth shut once in a while. And then
well, you just didn't.
Better.
You just didn't keep your mouth shut. No, they would hate you. I hate you. I never liked you.
No, I just say the thing that you just don't want to hear. You know what? Back in high school, like, I remember, you know, we have daughters. We know how teenage girls are, right? I mean, they're fucking cruel to each other. And I remember one time I liked this girl. And then this other girl is like, you know, do you want to go out with my friend or, you know, some kind of awful thing. And then it ended up like one of the girls called this other girl and said he doesn't like you anymore and he likes, you know, so and so or whatever, you know. And we might have been in
that
seventh or eighth grade or something like that, and I'm like, what just happened? Because I didn't do anything, and now I'm a villain. And I think about high school and going out on dates and stuff, and like, I wish I had thought of things to do instead of let's drive around the Kmart parking lot like everybody else, or let's go to this chip pizza place. I'm like, you know, man, we should have gone, you know, should have gone fishing. We should have gone to, you know, the races or something. You know, I don't know, should go to have fun, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
John,
should have gone to the cross burning on the lawn. That's something that, you know, that you should have done that.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
take a picnic, you know, basket and
or
go.
Yeah. You just go, you know, hey, let's get in the car. Let's drive 15 minutes to the middle of nowhere and go to this, you know, Minute Mart kind of thing, little grocery store. And there's, you know, 11 fantastic banjo players on the front porch, you know, playing while they drink Mountain Dew. That might've been something really cool to go see, but we were like, well, hell, I'm not driving up to Hampton. Come on. Yeah, that's crazy. Right. Get shot. You know, I could have had a lot more fun if I had thought outside the box.
Yeah.
Just like the Studio 54 outfit, you know, do whatever you want to do. Don't just do the same old shit. Go to the Krispy Kreme donut. And
when you were AMC in picks. The latter years of high school, were you as, I don't know if I want to call you cynical, but you're sarcastic. Were you like that, or were you like
more.
You like you're
more?
You're,
no, I mean, I'm being serious. I'm by nature very critical, and when I was in my teenage years, I was, you know, trying to figure that out.
Yeah,
you know. When do you say stuff? And I wasn't as I wasn't as Christian as somebody should be. I didn't have a lot of I should have said, you know, good for
not,
you.
Not much tolerance.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean tolerance. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, racism, sexism, homophobia, that kind of thing. It was just dumbassery. Somebody did something dumbass.
Yeah.
Regardless of your nationality or economic position, I would call it out. Hey, nice job, dumbass. And then that's when you get hit. Yeah. You know, along the way, you learn to keep your mouth shut.
Oh, yeah. We would have been real tight, John.
And I was an irritating laugher. You know, if you did something, I would be the one going,
you'd go like, or that other one you do where you go, ha ha.
Or ha.
Yeah, no, I got a lot of those laughs that make you really hate me. So, you know, you just learn to keep those to yourself as you go along. So, but you know, I had friends, we had fun, we had a good time. I didn't have enemies per se. I didn't have you know, I probably had girls that I went out with that didn't want to have anything to do with me anymore because I just, you know, was a teenage boy. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reason I didn't go back to my high school reunion wasn't because I didn't like anybody or those kind of things. I just didn't want to have my picture made with all those old people. And that was a wise decision, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also too, you know, I mean, do you think
I did have great hair though?
You did have great hair, but do you think that, like Kelly was saying, that not cynicism or that what you even alluded to, do you think that was something deeper in you that I know that you know, I'm not, there's nothing wrong with this here per se, but I don't think this is me, but I don't know what it is, right?
No. It was just blind childhood trauma. Who knows what it was? I didn't have any thought that I didn't belong there or that I was better than these folks. I had a good time. High school was great. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
You know, and I guess I had thoughts of, you know, live. You know, you could live in there. It's a nice enough little town, and there's plenty of people I know that have been there the whole time. And which once you leave, then you're like, oh, there's other stuff out in the world. You know, there's big cities. Yeah. There's, you know, jobs other than working at the whatever. You know, those kind of things. So right. I like my hometown. Then I don't particularly like it now, but that's probably more.
Yeah, I don't recognize it.
Changing religious and political views, but
interesting.
No, I like to think of myself as a friendly fella, and you know, all those kind of things. But I had some learning to do along the way. I wish I had spent more time take an auto shop and things like that. We had a, our high school had this fantastic vocational technical wing. You could be a cosmetologist, you could be an HVAC person. They taught you everything you wanted to learn. And
really?
Yeah. No, I mean, it was you know, maybe they still have it, but it was really fantastic. And you could go right from high school into a career because you could do that. And they had like guys would have these apprenticeship things where they'd be, you know, senior in high school, and they'd work a few hours every day doing whatever that thing was. And the rest of us, you know, that didn't take any VOTEC classes, we're like, you know, I'm going to go off to college and do all this kind of stuff because we're fools.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to take auto shop when I was a senior in high school, I had, you know, enough credits and done everything. And I'm like, oh, I got an empty period. I want to take auto shop. And they're like, no, we don't want you to take it because you will be taking a spot away from someone who could take auto shop too. And we're like,
wow,
well, fuck. So I didn't get to take it. And if I had known that I could have maybe, I don't know, taken less math classes or history classes or some of that bullshit and taken a bunch of auto shop, and I would be really good at gap and spark plugs today, that I could have used that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And still, and probably still been able to go to your college. Right. And had that education.
Getting into college back then was easy. I mean, I remember applying to the University of Georgia, and literally it was a postcard that you fill your name out, you spell your name in the blocks.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was nothing. You could just go there if you could do that, you could go there. Now, you know, the government, everybody that gets a B in the state of Georgia gets some amount of money. So, you know, Georgia, Southern Georgia, whatever, all these kind of what were community colleges now have 35,000 people in them.
Right.
And nobody can go to the University of Georgia because it's, you know, it only takes the elite. Mm. So.
One thing I got a lot out of was the photography classes. I did 2 years of that in high school.
Mm. See, that's boy, so cool. I didn't do
that.
That
was wonderful.
Yeah. We didn't have that.
We didn't have
that. We
were
developing our own, you know, darkroom stuff and that learning how to run a line camera, which I ended up getting a job doing, which was kind of cool.
Huh. We had a darkroom at high school, but it was for the school newspaper and the yearbook staff. Yeah.
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 Huh.
Wow. I didn't get any of that stuff. You know, I just did what you needed to do to make the requirements and, you know, okay, I guess I'll go to college. I don't know what I want to do, but that's what I'm supposed to do. I know I didn't want to work in the factory. That I knew, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't driving a truck, right?
Your parents want you to do the most you can do, and, you know, they don't want you to flunk out of high school and go work at McDonald's. But you know, you were sold this thing like, oh, if you go off to college, then you can be president of the United States, you know, that kind of stuff. Not, would you like to, you know, have your own business and do your own thing and make a ton of money as a plumber? Because you could do that too.
Not one person in high school ever said, hey, what do you think you're good at? What are you good at? Never came up.
Wait, you didn't take those aptitude tests?
No, and if I did, I didn't pay attention. I just, you know, I don't think
I did one, and the guidance counselor looked at me and went, Jesus Christ.
What did you remember?
Are your parents rich?
Yeah, you know, do you remember what it told you, what you wanted to do?
It said drag queen.
Be an actor?
I don't remember. And I bucked every choice, that the common choice, and I went to theater school. Mm-hmm. What the hell?
Yeah, but then you...
Something
you
really useful. My poor parents was like, God, we saved money for you to go to school and everything here. Go to theater school.
Yeah, but
they were supportive, they were kind of like, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
It worked. Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have rather have gone to the, you know, to McGill University and under accounting? No, right? You weren't going to do that.
I don't think
sounds,
so, but
that
now,
sounds terrible. I don't know what
but
that
now
is.
When I look, but I look back at it now, kind of, you know, you wonder.
At least you,
you know, you could have been a rich, successful person in another field, you know, rather than.
Yeah, but right now you'd be a cadaver. So what difference does that make, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Why do you say that? What do you mean?
Because you get, you know, and that's not who you
just
are.
Killed you, man.
It'll kill you. You won't even make it this far, right? You know, I mean, not that it's always been easy, but at least it's been yours.
Yeah, you know? True.
Yeah, I wish as I as I came up through high school and college, I wish I had learned some skill, some trade that I could always fall back on. Because I remember when I got out of college, it was like, you know, okay, I got a job busting out windows at a construction site. Oh, I got another job packing boxes in a warehouse. Oh, I got another, you know, I mean, it was just the worst. And mm-hmm. I couldn't make anything happen. And it was just because I met somebody and got a better job inside somewhere that, you know, then I was on.
This is after you got your college degree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it wasn't, wow. You know, like you get out of college and then what? You know, oh, I want to go work at Coca-Cola. Well, they don't want you. You know, I mean, after I got out of college, I went to graduate school. Then I dropped out. But So, I mean, it wasn't that easy. I mean, it's not that easy to find a job if you're just some dude looking for a job. You got to know somebody, right? Mm-hmm.
Or have a really, really marketable skill that somebody can say, oh, I need somebody who can do that right now.
Yeah, but I mean, there are a lot of people with similar skills out there. You know, oh, I just got an MBA. Oh, I, you know, whatever. And the thing like, oh, I also speak Spanish. Yeah, that's the skill.
Boy, yeah.
Boy, yeah.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
That's what they should be saying is like, forget all these things. Go learn another language, you freaks.
Yeah.
Who here speaks Chinese? Yeah, we'd like one of those, please. Yeah.
And then you call it, and then you name your price, basically.
Yeah. Because I mean, right now you can hire anything you want. I had lunch with a guy this week. I've known him for 25 years. You know, we kind of work together along the way. And he was telling me that he's looking to hire a salesman for his post-production company. And there are no salesmen left. You know, you can
what do you mean?
There are no people in sales that understand post-production, you know, servicing movie studios, things like that, that know folks. Like there was a, maybe this happens in other industries, but there's a group of guys when I started in the 90s, and they were salesmen, and they would go around and get you to spend money at their place, or, you know, put a TV show in a facility, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. And then as those guys got older, and now they're, you know, they can't really retire. They just get really old. But they got replaced by young, smart people that knew how to do Excel files and could run projections. And they're like, oh, you know, we don't need salespeople. We just need to respond to these, you know, requests for proposal from studios. And then we'll, you know, whatever. So they did that for a while. And then it's like, okay, wait a minute. People do enjoy the human touch, and, you know, they want you to go take them to lunch and say, hey, you know, I know you're trying to do this. You should do this with our company or whatever. So there's none of those out there anymore. I mean, there are salespeople, but they're not from that industry. And, you know, all the sales guys are really old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know,
how's the stuff getting sold then? Is it just
web? Yeah. How? Yeah. Word of mouth? What is it?
I guess. Or you just.
The owners of the companies are going around and just talking to people and that kind of thing.
Just previous relationships, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I've been working here for so long, and I used to do this, and so I'll go, whatever. But they don't have, like, you know, a person under 60 that's out there working in that field. I mean, they've got account managers that are like, thanks for your order, it'll be ready on Thursday. But nobody that's going to go get them new business, you know? And I wonder
if the buyers would be even, like, let's say one of our kids, you know, 25, 30 years old, decides they want to go into sales. Would they be responsive to somebody that's only been doing it for a couple of years, and they're like they just got out of college or whatever, and they're like, you know,
I think they would, but I think you know, they want somebody that's, you know, oh, I know a lot of people at Netflix. Oh, I know a lot of people, you know, and that's kind of, I think, the gotcha, because nobody knows a lot of people anywhere anymore, because it's all kind of changed over. So,
right.
And there's something to sales, like, you know, having a vision of this is, you know, this is the value that we would bring, you know, competing with other people. I mean, I do like a lot of sales work now, and I don't consider myself a salesperson, but I can tell, you know, when a big studio comes to us and says something, and I'm like, you don't even know that you can't do this. Like, I can show you how we're helpful, but you don't have any custom, you don't have any workers. So, I mean, like if a studio buys services from a facility, let's say, you know, I'll just make it up. You're going to transfer a bunch of film. Nobody does that anymore. So that's a safe thing. I've got millions of feet of film and I want to translate it. I mean, I want to transfer it to a file, video file. And somebody's doing that today. And the studio says, well, shit, we're all going to lose our jobs if we don't trim that cost by 50%. What can we do? Oh, you know, I saw where you can go get your own film transfer machine. Oh, look, how much do those cost? Oh, those are really cheap. Can you sell me one of those machines? Yeah, sure, I can. But who's going to turn it on? Oh, yeah, well, we here at the studio, we have a bunch of pencils and we have some notepads, but we don't have any skills or ability or know how to do anything at all. So, I mean, they that's the thing they don't understand. They think they can go out and just buy some groundbreaking new stuff. And it takes them a while to realize, well, shit, I don't have anybody that does any of that. There's no, we fired everyone along the way and there's nothing.
Yeah.
So really what they're trying to do is figure out how to get these people. They're charging them a dollar to charge them 50 cents, which doesn't work for anybody. And the whole thing is just imploding.
Well, can they not send this film to be transferred to India?
Yeah, they can, but the problem is that it's not done as good there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I
why?
Mean, think in,
why
isn't
is that?
the software that
yeah,
does
it? Isn't...
You know, you need talented people, and I think India has a lot of people, and I think a lot of people that'll work for just pennies, but you kind of get what you pay for. I mean, it's like we were talking.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that when I, along, you know, through the years, there's a lot of technical stuff happening in India and they're, you know, they're very capable of doing a lot of things. But, you know, if you want a bunch of folks in India to rewrite something for you, right, you know, transcribe a movie or those kind of things, they're like, yep, we all speak English. It's going to be great. And then you get it back and it's like, you don't understand plurals, do you?
Oh, is that right? Huh?
Yeah. And it's, and there's a lot of that. And I think it's just, you know, it's just education, quality control, you know, those kind of things.
Yep.
I mean, work is boring as shit. So I don't like talking about that. But I think that it's, there's a real gap in, you know, whatever the industry is, you know, I want stuff to be cheap as shit, but I also want it to be excellent and fantastic and, you know, last for a long time and all that kind of stuff. And those don't go hand in hand, you know?
All the more reason we got to send everything back to them small towns we came from.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. I mean, I think if you had a little, like there's a blue jeans factory in my hometown and they cut denim, sew blue jeans, all that kind of stuff. Totally different product than if you go buy a pair of Levi's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're great. And
this is in your hometown still?
Yeah. They still been, it's been open for more than 100 years. Guy went
What's
to high
the
school.
Brand? Do I know this brand? Is it famous, like Wrangler or something?
No. It's a small local brand that sold to farmers. It used to be called Pointer Brand, like a bird dog Pointer,
yeah,
that kind of thing. And they made overalls. They've made these, you know, barn coats. Like you'd be a farmer and you go buy these overalls or these, you know, carpenter pants or whatever, and you'd wear them for 15 years, 25 years, you know, that kind of stuff. They would just last.
Was it a bit of fashion sense too, or is it literally just utility stuff?
Totally, it was totally utility stuff. And
what about now? Still
now it's a little bit more fashion. Like if you're a hip folk performer, you know, and you've got your groovy little hat and you're, you know, like, you know, that jacket that I have, that my daughter painted the octopus on the back of it, you know, little white canvas jacket, you know, I've got a bunch of things from there. Shirts, they're kind of groovier now, but
how do they sell this stuff? Just locally, right?
They, it's weird. You can buy it directly for them off the website, or you can buy it in a brick and mortar store that sells it. So like there used to be stores all over the South that would sell this brand. I actually had a cousin of mine had a menswear store in South Georgia, and he carried that brand for the farmers. And
not so much anymore.
Well, I mean, now it's, they don't really do Pointer brand anymore. They do, it's called LC King. So which is the guy's name, and they make it and sell it. And it's, you know, it's cool. I mean, you go to the factory and, you know, they're, you can just try them on there. You can go upstairs to where all the machines and things are. It's just, you know, right off downtown, and it's really cool. And,
and that's really neat. I'm all curious now. Maybe I want to order some jeans.
Yeah, you should. I mean, I've got a bunch. They're cool because they you know, they look like jeans, but the pockets inside are like orange camo.
So, is it right?
Yeah, it's cool. And yeah, different kind of jackets, you know, and things like that. So yeah, you would like it.
Text me a link to it because I'm not going to remember what it is.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
they got a good
website you can buy that stuff from. So I like what they do.
You just have him go back at his next reunion and just say
field trip.
Yeah.
I'd say the three of us go buy some jeans.
Yeah. And go to and go to John's reunion and go on, was he an asshole? And they're like, mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's just as cynical as he ever was.
No, you know, I talked to the guy, Captain Jack.
Lost his hair too.
That's the CEO. I mean, his family has been in my hometown for a million years. And
this is the clothing company?
Yeah. So he's the CEO of the clothing company. And then there's another King guy in town who has a really fine menswear store. Like if you want to buy a really great suit, or you're going to an Easter thing in Hilton Head, he'll sell you a blazer and you know, with crazy pattern on it, and a pair of, you know, lavender pants with, you know, fish bones on it, or what, you know, just like fine clothing. So, you know,
what can he do with feathers in a diaper? Anything? Or that this?
There's probably a tie with those on there, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, you can get some good ties there. But yeah, you know, these guys are making it work in small town. I think it's a hard grind, but it's
That's pretty great, though.
Yeah,
that's
they used to get all the denim from these mills in North Carolina, and then they've been closing down over the years. So it's hard to find people that make denim in America anymore. So that's the real challenge. And I think,
that's why we miss those small towns.
I mean, I think there's an opportunity to rejuvenate all that stuff and bring manufacturing back to America. I think people like to work, but I think the problem is the corporations are like, well, you know, we need to keep giving shareholder value. So what we're going to do is, you know, the guys in China, they're charging us too much for Mr. Coffee. So we're going to have it made in Vietnam or Cambodia or Sri Lanka or somewhere. You know, we'll have these seven-fingered children, you know, putting the things together, you know?
It's true. And then you can't compete if you want to make your coffee maker in, you know, Kansas, because
you're not going to do it. No,
you can't do it.
I don't know. I think if you made a coffee maker in Kansas and it was like, you only got to buy the one, it's, you know, it's all made of steel. It's never going to, you know, look at these wires in the back. They're 10 gauge instead of 0.0000, you know, 100 gauge or whatever. You know, I think there are
people. You couldn't support it. Fine. I mean, you know, what's it going to cost you to make that, you know, between wages and materials and taxes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and people saying, you want me to pay $100 for a coffee maker? I can go to Walmart and get one for $19.99. That's the problem. People are poor in their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to pay a ton of money for a Starbucks, but I won't buy something that lasts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But in the time that you have that coffee maker, you will buy five of them at $19.99.
Oh, yeah, shit, right.
And then as opposed to the one, right, that's going to last you the same amount of time.
Yeah, and it's all the same stuff. Coffee makers, blenders, cars,
yep,
cell phones, everything. You know, it's all just shit.
I was just going to say, we all jumped to get the latest iPhone, which, you know, I'm willing to drop $1,200 for the latest iPhone when I could. Yeah.
I mean, you think you could keep an old iPhone, but, you know, it gets to the point where the screen doesn't work anymore, or
you can't update it anymore. Security, yeah, and all that.
You know, and you can't replace anything in it, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If it was self-contained, if you didn't need, right, software updates, or you could update it yourself, think mm-hmm. about that. How long would you have this phone? And, you know, if the materials were better, obviously, you could have, let's say you could, can you imagine having the same cell phone for 15 years or 20 years?
Well, I mean, you remember those Nokia phones that everybody used to have, the little where that you could play Snake on them and that was it?
Yeah.
The charge would last for 7 days.
Yep. I have one. It's almost brand new.
Yeah. I remember my buddy Mike gave me one. He lived in Europe and he's like, this one will work in America and in Europe. It was gold. And I remember going to London on a trip. I'm like, son of a bitch, it works. It costs $1 million to make a call, but it would work in both places. And
go on.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's like, do you need to be able to look at Facebook? You know, or do you just need a call, or, you know, call somebody? I think about our kids, you know, they're all terrified of calling an adult somewhere. You know, we were talking, you know, last night about my daughter, you know, needing to call the auto body shop.
This is the youngest daughter or the
oldest? Yeah. Oh, I don't want to call. Oh, shit. And I'm like, you know, there's a person on the other end of that phone whose job it is to answer it and take care of your needs. It's not like you're calling somebody at home and they're inconvenienced. I mean, this lady is sitting there waiting for the phone to go, hi, Caliber Collision. How can I help you?
Yeah, yeah.
What can I do for you today, caller? That's their, mm-hmm. you know, that's their thing.
My daughter's the same too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they're just, it's like, oh shit, can I text them? Can I do something that's not personal? Because if I have to talk to them on the phone, I'm just going to melt.
I know.
And then really, well, how bad is it really? Do I really need this?
Yeah, yeah. I can live without.
I'll just buy a new one.
Yeah, that's the other. Yeah,
and I'll have it delivered by Postmates.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I have this old car. It got scratched. I don't need it now. I need a new one. Can someone come get it from me? Do you know somebody can come?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know,
I'll just order a new Tesla replacement. They just come and, you know, make your phone work to open this. Yeah, I got a new one. It's down there in the same parking space. We don't have to have any contact. You know, the app says it's been delivered. That's all you need. I don't know. Did I tell you that I heard this thing where they're talking about German cars versus Japanese cars? So the Germans culturally believe that you should take care of your shit. So your BMW, your Mercedes, it needs regular servicing. And if you give it regular servicing, it will last for a lifetime.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In America, we don't do that shit. We drive it until we like, what's that smell? Oh, yeah, with all the oil came out of it and it burned up. Yeah, okay, thanks. The Japanese said, these motherfuckers in America don't do anything. We're going to design our cars to require zero servicing. They're just going to keep. So the thing is, we're like, no, there's Hondas and Toyotas will last a lifetime. It's our fucking fault.
Yeah,
we're a culture that's like, change the what? I'm not doing that. It's running fine. That knocking noise, it can't, you know, what does this dashboard light mean? Nah, don't worry about it.
Pretty
interesting.
That's what we are. Yeah.
Whereas the Germans treat their cars like fine timepieces and stuff.
Yeah. And I guess the Italians are like, oh, no. You don't drive it. You just look at it.
Is that right?
Look at those lines. This Ferrari. No, you go to Rome in this. You're nuts. It won't make it. But look at the curves.
Yeah. Put it in the driveway and admire it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
I mean, the Italians have beautiful cars.
Yeah.
Who the hell would want one? But yeah. You know, I think about that because I used to work at a BMW place, and people were always bringing those things in, and they were just fucked up. And the guys down in the service bay would be like, oh, look, it's the new whatever. And they just stare at it because nobody knew how to fix it. You know, they have to go to school to learn these things. So,
wow.
I've always been kind of on German cars, but after hearing that, I'm like, oh wait, it's me. Not them. I mean, my my German car that I have now, I don't know why, but the damn thing just keeps running. It's only got 11 moving parts, I guess, but, you know.
Why do you say it's me? What do you mean? It's me.
I do not take care. I have not taken care of my German cars in the past. Hadn't had
you? You seem like you're quite hands-on maintaining these things.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm not qualified to.
You're not going to do a valve job on a Volvo, no.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, I can't do that. Got to go take it to a fella. But if you said I got a car that's going to go hundreds of thousands of miles, and all you got to do is do an oil change and spark plug, I'd be like, yeah, I'm in. But if I, you know,
yeah,
but if
I it's, gotcha. Yeah.
But if it's, you know, your BMW at the 30,000 mile tune up costs $2,000. The 60,000 mile tune up costs $5,500, and the 120,000 mile, you know, I'm like, oh, that's what a ripoff. But then if you actually did it, yeah, and every few months you got things worked on, and
you
keep that car for a long time. I don't know. Yeah, whatever. I'd rather have a hot rod.
All right.
I'd rather walk.
All right. Well, I think we have explored the nation's ills.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good title. Big lapels and German cars. There it is. Right?
Yeah,
back to my high school disco days.
Yeah. I'd like to go with a disco fag, but I don't think
that's don't do that.
No, it's not a good idea. I'll think about it. That's definitely a small town disco kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
All right. Be well, and remember, America, if it ain't rock, man, it's disco.
Morning, but now you're feeling blue. Come on and set your arse down and have yourself a brew. You walked here from Killarney, and now you know it's true. You'll suck the cock of an Irishman before the night is through.